Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis. Normally here at Victory, we teach in series, and we just wrapped up a series a couple of weeks ago. But this morning, what I want to share with you is just kind of a standalone message. And I really believe it's a word for us today in this moment. I believe it's going to be powerful and effective. I've entitled my message for today, Kingdom Provision. So I want to talk about kingdom provision. And we're going to look in Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to take our text out of a couple of verses we find there in Genesis chapter 26. So begin reading with me in verse 1 of Genesis 26. It says, "A severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac," that's Abraham's son, "moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived." Now jump with me down to verse 12. We're going to skip ahead for time's sake to verse 12. "When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord had blessed him." Now, just to make sure that we catch what's going on here, there's a famine in the land due to drought. And Isaac, of course, is in that land. Isaac does something that's pretty extraordinary. He decides that in the middle of a drought to go ahead and plant his crops. And the Bible said that in that very same year that he planted his crops, he received 100-fold return. And the reason was is that the Lord had blessed him. Now, here's what I want you to understand as we begin to move forward here. If you are born again, you are now part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom, just tell the person next to you, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's who you are if you're born again. But here's what you need to know is that the kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdoms of this world. Have you ever heard it called the upside down kingdom? That's a term we use. Because the kingdom just works in weird ways, and it doesn't work in the same principles as the rest of the world works. I mean, Jesus said, if you want to be first, put yourself last. See that? He said, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant of all. He said, if you want to save your life, lose it. See how the kingdom of God works differently than the rest of the world? Well, we see this in Isaac's situation here. This was not a good environment to be planting crops. But what we find is because he operated in a different way, we see that when everybody else around him was experiencing lack, Isaac was experiencing abundance. Complete different result from everywhere around him. This morning, I want to talk to you about kingdom provision, specifically where finances are concerned. I want to talk about money this morning. And I got to admit to you, the reason I want to talk about money is because money has been on my mind lately. Anybody else had money on your mind? My money on my mind and my mind. You knew I was going there. The peanut gallery here knew I was going there, and they were warning me. And the reason I'm thinking about money lately, like personally, there's a few things going on in our life that has my mind on money. Next week, my only daughter is getting married. All right? Yay. Listen, dads, get ready. I mean, some of you have already been there. If you've got a young daughter, start saving now. Do yourself a favor. Start saving now. Weddings are expensive. And God bless my daughter because she's just been so great in this. She's grateful. She's not. Thank God for women who aren't bougie. Amen. Just husbands, just pat your wife. Just say thank you for not being bougie. Right? And my daughter's been great. Her attitude's been great. And she's so grateful for everything. And then thank God for my wife, who has been working her fingers to the bone, plus not just doing it herself, she's got some friends helping her, and I'm telling you, I owe them a prime rib dinner, right? because they've been working so hard to make the wedding special without breaking the bank. If you were to go to my house right now, you would see, like I walked in last night, there was glitter from one end to the other, right? I'm surprised I'm not covered in glitter right now because they're in there making all these things and doing all this stuff for the wedding. And I'm contributing. I've made a few things for the wedding. Thank God the things they assigned me to make, I can go in my shop and do. Because all the flour and the estrogen is inside and the testosterone is in the shop. Can I hear a, ooh? What was that, Tim Allen? He used to grunt, ooh, right? So yeah, money's been on my mind in our personal life a lot lately. Also as a church, I mean, the Lord's been blessing us with growth. Isn't that cool that a church is growing? Congratulations, you're growing, right? That's been beautiful, but the growth has caused us to a need to expand our facilities. And the last year, we've been doing a lot of expansion. Some of you remember last summer, we were in our Level Up campaign, and because we were needing to make some upgrades and some expansions to our students' ministry, and that has happened. That auditorium back there, if you have not seen the youth auditorium yet, it's beautiful. And then plus we added on a space where the students can gather when they first get there. And I'm telling you, if you show up there on a Wednesday night and you walk in there and you feel the energy of all those students in there, congratulations to Felix and Lyric and all their team for what they're doing in the youth ministry. But how many of you know that wasn't free? We did that. And then also, if you wonder what's going on back there, we're expanding our parking. One of the limiting factors at Victory is our parking. And so we are going as far north. We're going to the far northern boundary with the parking, right? And so that's cool. I mean, those are good problems to have because they're growth, but they also cost money, right? And so by the time we finish that, we will have spent $900,000 to $1 million in the last year expanding our facilities, right? And we're fine, but, you know, the guy who's responsible for it all, you just need to know your pastor's cheap. I mean, he just is, right? And I just get anxious. I get the hives when it comes to money, right? So personally, we're being stretched. And then as a church, we've got a lot going on. But plus, I need you to know this too, is that as your pastor, we really love you. And when I look at the world around us, I see inflation at a record high. Amen? I mean, interest rates right now are through the roof. Anybody filled up your car lately? You know? And go to the grocery store. My goodness. $100 worth of grocery fits in two bags now, right? And so we know that because of this, the financial climate, that there are families in our church who are struggling. And I want you to know you have pastors that love you and care about you. And I think about those things. And so the other day I was praying about these situations, full of faith, of course. But I was praying about, you know, all the money going out in our personal life and in the church and praying for families. And in the middle of praying, I felt the Lord talk to me. And he speaks to me in a way that really works with me. Let me just say a side note real quick before I finish that story. You know, I have a lot of people talk to me about how do you hear from God? You know, often when we think of hearing from God, we think there's a God in heaven and there's these ears on the side of my head. And we're trying to catch a voice out there somewhere that would somehow register in these ears here. If you're trying to hear from God that way, you're probably going to be frustrated. What you need to know is that if you're truly born again, then God has deposited his spirit on the inside of you. So the voice doesn't come from heaven to these ears. It comes from in here. It's the voice. If you're listening for the voice of God, learn to listen in here because his spirit is indwelling you. If that meant something to you, just give me an amen. All right? So I'm praying, and I felt the Lord speak to me And the way he talks to me often is he'll ask me a question. And it's so cool because he knows that if he asks me this question, it's like I'll go to answer that question, and the answer to that question will produce so much in my life and in my following of his plan. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but he'll ask me something, and as I answer it, I'm like, that's it. That's it. So I was praying about finances, and the question that I felt the Lord ask me is, do you have any seed in the ground? Isaac reaped a harvest because he had first planted some seed. Now, the blessing of the Lord made all the difference in the world, but there had to be some seed in the ground first. And when I felt the Lord ask me, Jody, do you have any seed in the ground? And of course, I stopped. And his asking me that question, it produced really two things in me. Looking back at it now, as he asked me that question, it accomplished a couple things. First thing was obviously that I'd answer the question. And the answer to the question was, yes, I got some seed in the ground. I mean, Laurie and I are tithers. We tithe. And there's blessings associated with tithing. And so I'm like, you know what? I got some tithe seed in the ground. But we're not just tithers, we're givers. I talked about the expansions that we're doing here as a church. You know, when we started this last year, we invited you guys to be a part of it. Like if this is your church and this is your house and you're part of this body, then we invited you to begin to give into the expansions. And a lot of you did. Thank you so much. Can we just thank those who gave, right? But we didn't just ask you to do it. Laurie and I began to give toward it also. In fact, since that project began, I'm not here to brag, but I do feel like it's my job as a pastor to set the example. Since the project began, Laurie and I have been faithfully giving into that, and we're continuing to give into the expansions that's happening here at Victory. So when God asked me, do you have any seed in the ground? It was like, yeah, I do have some seed in the ground. But it also challenged me to go, wait, yeah, I got seed in the ground. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. It doesn't matter how much a wedding cost. Because listen, I got seed in the ground and there's a harvest coming. Listen, Isaac sowed when it didn't make sense. The rest of the world was not experiencing the abundance of God, but he did because he knew how to put seed in the ground. And all of a sudden, I was reminded, you know what? I need to stand in faith. And instead of complaining about how much a wedding dress cost, I need to stand in faith and say, it doesn't matter how much a wedding dress cost, because I got the God who provides exceedingly abundantly above more than I can even ask or think. And that's just my walk. And so the first thing, it reminded me that I do have seed in the ground and that I need to water that seed with faith. I don't need to cancel that feed with worry and anxiety and fret. I need to water that with the promises of God. And the understanding that he's faithful to his word. So that was the first thing it produced in me. But the second thing after he asked me that question, the second thought that came to my mind was, I need to get some more seed in the ground. I mean, I got some already, but I need to get some more seed in the ground because 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously we'll get a generous crop. So I began to say, okay, Lord, I'm grateful for the seed I've already got in the ground. I know you're faithful. When I tie my finances to the kingdom economy, it doesn't matter what the world's economy does. My economy is tied to something different, something higher. So Lord, thank you for the seed that I already have in the ground. But then Lord, I need some more seed. Where can we give? And so I began just like, okay, Lord, where would you direct us to plant some more seed? I'm just going to walk with that idea that, Lord, you just show me where to plant seeds. And it was kind of strange because a couple of days later, we were talking with a family, and this family was not in trouble. They were not in crisis. God was leading them to take a step of faith in what they do as a family. And as they were talking, the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, that's your field. That's where you need to plant some seed. So obviously, these people kept talking, and honestly, I didn't hear anything they said after that because all I was worried about was I need to get some seed in that ground. We finished the conversation. I leaned over to Lori, whispered in her ear, said, hey, I feel like the Lord told me that this is where we're supposed to sow and this is how much we're supposed to sow into it. Are you in agreement with that? She said, absolutely. No kidding. This is just how simple your pastor is. I jumped directly in my truck, drove to the bank, withdrew cash. Now, if you're under 30, cash is that green paper that you put in your wallet. I went and got cash money in $100 bills and brought it to this family. And she and I together put it in their hand, just said, we just want you to know that we feel like the Lord wants us to sow into this vision, into where your family's going. Because I want a lot of seed in the ground. But it's interesting, you know, isn't that how the kingdom of God works? You know, and when God provides for you, has anybody in here ever had God's provision come down from heaven in dollar bills? Like, has heaven ever made a deposit in your personal checking? Did it show up on your registry as heaven? That's not how it works, right? You know how it works? You know how kingdom provision works? It works through other people. You know that famous verse in Luke where it says that give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down. If you were in children's church a long time ago, you know the song that goes along with it, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. God's provision flows through the hands of other people. Most of the time through the hands of other kingdom citizens. That's how the provision flows. Now, he can even cause unjust people to give into your cause. And I don't know about you, but that money spends the same as the other money. Amen? But his provision flows through people. In other words, that family I was talking about that Laurie and I felt to bless, they had the blessing of receiving the provision. They had that blessing. But Laurie and I had a couple blessings too. First of all, we have the blessing of giving, of being the conduit for God's provision. The Bible said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So Laurie and I experienced the blessing of giving, but that's not the only thing. We are waiting now because sooner or later we're going to experience the blessing of reaping the harvest on the seed that we have sown. This is a kingdom principle, church. It's just how it operates. You need to know that sowing and reaping is biblical. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse, it says that as long as the earth is here, is the earth still here? For the moment, right? As long as the earth is still here, sowing and reaping is going to be in effect. As long as the earth is here. Not only that, we know that sowing and reaping is not limited to just money. Galatians 6:7 says this, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's not just limited to money. Whatever you sow, you reap. You know, the Bible says, if you want friends, there may be somebody in here and you're lonely and you need some friends. Well, the Bible tells you what to sow so that you can reap friendship. You know what it is? Friendship. Sow friendship, you reap friendship. I need some kindness in my life. Sow kindness, you reap kindness. So sowing and reaping is not just limited to finances, but we know that sowing and reaping is applicable where finances are concerned. That verse I just referenced to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, what was happening there? What was happening was Paul was taking an offering up from the church in Corinth because there was a need in the church in Jerusalem. So he got together with the church in Corinth, said, take your money That's the seed that we're talking about. You give that, and that is what's going to be used to sow into the church in Jerusalem. So sowing and reaping is biblical, and it is not just limited to finances, but it does definitely include finances. You know where we get it wrong sometimes, though? How many of you ever heard this? That we should give without expecting anything in return. Anybody ever taught that? Now listen, I just want to say this. That is a beautiful statement of humility. And the people who say that, it comes from a beautiful place in the heart. And so I agree that there ought to be some sense of humility in that way. But do you know that everywhere you look in the Bible where it talks about giving, there's a promised return? God always incentivizes us with a blessing. So I think it would be wrong of us to say, God, I'm going to obey you, but I just won't have any of that incentive. I'm just not that spiritual. If he promises a blessing that goes along with obedience, I'm open to the blessing. Amen. And so we see in the word, we see over and over again that he gives us a command that we're to follow in the way of giving, but there's also a blessing attached to it. I have never yet met the farmer who just goes out randomly and plants seeds and say, Lord, let your will be done. If nothing grows, I'm going to be happy. No. Every farmer plants seed with the idea of reaping a harvest. Amen. And so it's okay for us to believe God's word for the harvest that he promised. So I want to show you three things quickly, and I'm going to move fast. I got to move really fast. I'm going to show you three things in Scripture, three ways for us. And these aren't the only three ways, but the three main ways that we use our finances to sow into the kingdom of God that brings the blessing of God on our life and that promises a return. The first one, of course, is tithing. Look with me in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Stop with me there. You see the purpose of the tithe. The tithe comes into the house of God so that the house of God can operate. Let me put it plainly for you. You tithe to the church where you receive your feeding, and the purpose of those tithes dollars is so that the house can function. But here's what the Lord said he will do if we're obedient to that. If you do, says the Lord of heavens and armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Anybody opposed to that? I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try me, put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. When we as believers follow this scriptural instruction to tithe on the increase of our life, we walk in obedience to God and it brings a blessing on our lives. It puts us functioning under the economy of the kingdom of heaven. It puts us in line for the blessing of the Lord to be over our finances. Now, let me tell you something really quick. You're going to find this interesting. The word tithe means 10. It means 10%. So a tithe is 10%. But if you look in biblical numerology, you'll find this, that the number 10 has special meaning. The number 10 in Scripture, it represents the whole. It represents completeness. 10% represents 100%. When God gave commandments, how many commandments did he give? So here's 10 things to do to put you in right standing with God. The keeping of the 10 commandments under the old covenant meant you are 100% righteous by keeping these 10 commandments. When God was about to judge Sodom, he's talking with Lot, and Lot is bargaining with him there, fighting for the survival of Sodom. And God and Lot make a deal. He said, if we can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, I'll take that as a representation of the whole place being righteous, and I'll spare my hand from that. You see that? So 10 represents the whole. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud because you'll embarrass yourself unless you think about this for a second. When Moses sent spies into the promised land, slow down. How many spies did he send? 12. Okay, well, what does that have to do with 10? Think about the number 12. There was 12 of them, but of those 12, there was two different groups. There was a certain group that believed God and said, we can do this. There was a group that said, we can't do this. There were two in the group that said, we can do this. There were 10 that said, we can't. The 10, the decision, the opinion of the 10 kept the entire nation out of the promised land. 10 represents the whole. So when we give 10% of our increase to God, you know what it says? Everything I have belongs to you. A lot of people say that everything I have, except my finances, belong to you, Lord. But when we tithe, it's an indication that everything we have belongs to him. 10, let me real quick. 10 also, the number 10 represents a test. When God was about to bring Israel out of Egypt, how many plagues did he send on Egypt? 10. And the Bible tells us that those 10 plagues were testing the heart of Pharaoh. So 10 is the number of testing. Listen to me. When we tithe, it's a test. The command to tithe, it's a test. The command to tithe is a test. It's a test of your obedience. Am I going to be obedient to God? It's a test. I don't know why I want to just keep saying that over and over again until somebody says amen or something. The command to tithe is a test. It's testing our allegiance to God. Am I really obedient even to where it affects my finances? It's a test. It's not just a test for us, though, because we just read in Malachi 3 that it's a test for him. We can test him. It's the only place in the Bible where it says, test me. In other words, God's saying, listen, you want to test? I'll show you that I'm faithful. If you will be faithful to me, I promise you I'll come through in your day and you'll see the abundance of God in your life. It doesn't make sense that giving 10% away would bring abundance, but that's how the kingdom operates, church. One way for us to sow and reap and get involved in the kingdom economy is tithing. Another way, and I'm going to move quickly through this, is giving for the gospel's sake. Giving for the gospel's sake. Look with me quickly at Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 29. Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or property for my sake and the good news, that's the gospel, will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. I don't have time to unpack all this, but here's the principle of it. When we give for the sake of the furtherance of the gospel, when we give so that the gospel can go forth, the promise attached to that is 100-fold return. You may get a little persecution too, but I don't know about you. I can deal with that. It's promised 100-fold return. Well, what does that mean? Honestly, when we give to a missionary, when we give to missions so that the word of God can go out, it's sowing, it's seed that we put in the ground that brings a return. Last week, we had 48 people from this church go to Port Mercy, where Friendship Ministry operates out of. And those 48 people went and sowed their time and energy and skills into Friendship Ministries. I believe God is faithful, and I believe every person who put their hand to that task has a blessing coming to them because they've given so that the gospel can go forth out of Port Mercy. But you know what? Not only did we send people over there, we had the building materials had to be purchased so that we could do the building there. A decision we made as a church is that we want to cover, so Victory covered the building materials so that they could do the work over there. You know why they did that? Because we've got things going on in our world and we need a harvest to come in. So we as a church put some seed in the ground. Rivers Camp was here last week. I'm not supposed to say his name, maybe. That guy who was here last week, who works in that place where he works last week, we sowed into his ministry. Why? Because Victory, as a church, we want some seed in the ground, church. This is what giving for the gospel looks like. So there's tithing, there's giving for the gospel's sake. One more I'm going to mention quickly. It's giving to the poor. Look at this verse in Proverbs 19, verse 17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. I just want you to know God pays his bills. So there's three quick ways. It's not the only ways that we sow into the kingdom, but by tithing, by giving for the gospel's sakes, by giving to the poor. This is a way that we, as believers, bring our finances under the lordship of the kingdom of heaven. The blessing of the Lord is on our finances, and it doesn't matter what's happening in the world around of us. The economy can be good, the economy can be bad. The stock market can be killing it or losing it. It doesn't make a difference, because when we operate in this way, our finances are not attached to the economy of this world. It's attached to the world that is never shaken, that never experiences depression or any downfall that way. I'm saying this to you because I love you, church. And so I want to say to you, if you're here today and maybe the economy has got you in a bind, the human thing to do says, man, I need to just pull it in. I need to rein it in. And listen, you got a cheap pastor. I'm good at reining it in. And how many of you know we ought to be good stewards of our money? Get yourself a budget. That was really spiritual. Ready? Get yourself a budget. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Get yourself a budget. I mean, by all means. And go to work. Just turn to your neighbor and say, go to work. It's time for you to produce something. Time for you to earn some money, right? So, I mean, we know that we need to be good stewards. We know we need to work. But listen, seed does no good sitting on a shelf. Seed only works when it gets in the ground. So if you're here and you're believing for a financial breakthrough, I want to encourage you, put some seed in the ground. Isaac sowed when it didn't make sense, but he lived in a whole different way from everybody else around him. Everybody else was in abundance. Was in lack. Isaac is in abundance. Tie your finances to the kingdom of God. Especially if you are feeling the pressure of the economy right now. One thing I want to say really quick before I move on. If you are not experiencing financial pressure right now, because I know people, you know, in every market, there are people who are hurting and there are people who are killing it. And I know some people who are experiencing abundance in this economy. And I want to say this to you. Congratulations. No judgment, no condemnation, no socialism. Amen. I thought y'all were going to get me on that. We don't need that. So if you're experiencing abundance, congratulations. Let me give you a warning, though. When we walk in abundance, there's always a temptation to go, you know what? I created this money. I started this business. I did this. The enemy will always tempt you to say, you're a self-made man or a self-made woman. And when we do that, you know what we do? We take the credit from God, and because he doesn't get the credit, we also don't operate in his kingdom principles. This idea that I made it, so I'll decide how to spend it. I'm not good with that 10%. Let's look at 3.5. That was funny. Let's see if we can work these numbers. So if you are killing it financially, congratulations. Do not. The Bible warns this in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. It says, when you're enjoying all this wealth, the temptation is going to be to think that I'm a self-made man. But the word says this, remember that it is the Lord who gives the power to get wealth. And yes, you came up with that great idea, but who gave you the mind that created that great idea? Yes, you have that skill set, but who gave you the body that that skill set operates in? Listen, it don't matter where you are on the socioeconomic scale, wherever it is, all glory belongs to God, right? And every bit of it goes underneath His lordship. Would you stand with me, please?